We were, this is a familiar sermon this morning. Nothing new you ain't heard. But I always thought about when Christ was joined himself to them, Cleophas and that other guy, that unnamed guy, that was walking along that Emmaus Road. And he joined up with them. They's downhearted. They's running away from church. They's just leaving, going down the wrong road. And he showed up. But you know, when he began to tell all of the scriptures that he was fulfilled in, it was the same story, but never told in a way of that first person. So I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. But if you have been hungry for God all week, you come in here this morning, you're going to hear it in first person, because he'll speak to you, not me. I found out a long time ago, nothing I've got to say, nothing in me at all is it worth anything to you. But if he shows up, a word from him is worth more than anything else in the world. B.H. Clendenin said, these people don't need to hear me, they must hear from God, and that is exactly the truth. We were, several weeks back, we were asked to come and sing at Brother W.H. Wyatt's funeral in Richmond, and one of the speakers got up and made a statement that has jarred me. In the last few places we've been, I've had to dig an old sermon out that should have been preached every time I got up. But he got up and he said, you know, we look back at the turn of the century, back when the Azusa Street happened and the Holy Ghost fell. There was a great awakening. It fell down in the Carolinas. And Brother Huff always got up and talked about when Pentecost come to Laurel County, the things that were seen. It was produced results. People were healed. And it drawed attention to the greatness of who God was, of a great awakening. Our day that we live in, we find, you know, I got to thinking when he mentioned that, we haven't seen that. We've had a few Brownsville experiences. And when they left Brownsville, the whole church had to go into receivership. Because when they left it didn't leave a lasting impact upon lives. It was a flash in the pan. It was here today and gone tomorrow. We have a lot of that, folks. That's just a flash. The world has fallen for a deception, is a imitation of what is real. It's got a hint of scripture in it, so they think it's of God. The deception of our world, the Antichrist, when he shows up, is going to come almost in that form of light. We used to think about the big 666 on your forehead and all that stuff. It's going to come in more of a subtle way, to where you'll think this is a good thing. You know, they want to put chips in babies now, so if somebody steals them, they'll know who they belong to. Oh, that's a good thing, but it's also something that's conniving and undermining the whole program of God. But my thought was we need another awakening in the day we live in. Several years back, when this church was over across town, I've told this before, and y'all that was here well remember it, started out with a revival of youth. And several hundred people were saved, and some of them still working for God out of that awakening and a revival. It did not come cheap. It come with a price to be paid. Before we ever get, one of the guys mentioned Brother Wyatt and said, oh, if there was some kind of a way that you could, some new machine that you could take the knowledge out of his head and put it into ours. And I thought, well, there is. The same way he got it, you can get it. It's called studying and fasting and prayer. And communion with God is the way that we acquire that. But that's just my little foreground of thought here. But we need, in this hour, we need a fresh and new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. More than we need talent and ability and education, we need the anointing of God on what we do. Amen. Because it's not by power nor by might, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. We can dangle you with our education and enticing words of man's wisdom. We can kind of tickle your ears with great notes of melody and train voices and choirs and musicians to sing. We've heard some of the greatest through the years. But when it comes down time to change a person's life, there's not a note of music, there's not a hint of a degree behind your name can change that life except the the Holy Spirit bring them into God. They realize their loss. They see their need of Him. They repent of their sins. They die on an altar. They get up after the Holy Spirit has birthed Christ in them, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things have become new. They are no longer who they used to be. The drug addict can kneel at an altar, get up sober and cured. The alcoholic can come a drunkard and get up sobered and cured by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just a thought. We cannot change the problems that we're facing in our world today. Our prisons are full with no rehabilitation program at all. If they get out, they're right back in again. AA and all of the government drug centers around the world is not affecting the drug problem that we are facing in our country today. Drugs and satanic forces go hand in hand. Knoxville, Tennessee's got a program up now, the Satanic Church, and they've got a bill up with the city trying to get them recognized so they can have equal rights and equal time on any street corner or any program. Over in Lexington, there's a big billboard. If you turn on the New Circle Road to the left, it says, "Be kind." And the B is in American flag, but the rest of it has to do with the gay agenda. It has to do with the Muslims. It has to do with everything. There's not a Christian thing about that signs on there. It was put up there by a priest. It has nothing on this kind of what we call, it's tolerance. We don't like to preach folks against sin anymore. We preach tolerance. God loves everybody. He does. He loved you enough that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved you enough that He gave His life that you might be brought from sin unto life. He brought you out of darkness into light. He gave all He had to change your life. If your life didn't need changing, He wasted His time and the Father's Son. You hear me? He wasted it all. Our lives need changing. And the only way it's going to happen, folks, is the same thing happened for the last centuries and centuries. It's because of the grace and the mercy of the Almighty God. You and I are sober this morning. We're not in jail, haven't killed anybody, and we haven't even killed ourselves, only because we're allowing God to direct our steps as we take them. Amen. And if you don't allow God to do that, that spirit of slap will get all over you. Ain't bothered you, has it? Somebody pass and cut you off, first thing, I'm reaching under the seat of the truck, I got a judge under there. Some of y'all don't know what a judge is, I'll tell you after church. I don't let me judge you. It's a 45 pistol that shoots 410 shotgun shells, if you want to know what I'm talking about. I'd say that make a man splatter, but it's when that spirit comes over you. You know, it is the grace and the mercy of God that brings you to the reality of who you are. It's when them ornery son-in-laws come over. It's when them ornery daughter-in-laws come over. You know. Sometimes that spirit gets all over you, but it's the grace and the mercy of God that keeps our bearing where it ought to be. We've lost our mooring, folks. We have lost our foundational stand that we're on because we're listening to so many voices that are applying for our attention when we only need to listen to one that can change lives and change hearts. God, and I'm talking about, we cannot change the world situation. Preach in a minute. World situations that's going on. We cannot do it, but there is a man who can. We cannot change it, but there is one who can. God did not stop the plots that were set against Christ, but He used their plots to bring Christ into His purpose and His destiny. He used what Satan meant for harm to bring about the purpose that Almighty God had for him. Rather than God warring against our enemies and the plots and the plans that they use, God uses them to push us closer into the plan that He has for our life. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust His Word. If there never was a problem, I wouldn't know God could even solve them. But through the darkest of those valleys, through the desert stand, through the darkness of a night, when He shows up by your side, you left out, and when He leaves, you're left with a stronger foundation to know that no matter what happens to me in my life, there is a God who will push everything aside and show up to meet my need. Stop wishing you were someone else and thank the Lord that He has made you and has a strategy for the whole plan of your life. Amazes me, I'm just nosy for a minute, amazes me that so many people, because it's cool, they think that tattooing is the greatest thing in the world. You want to trace that back, you go back, then they did all of the tattooing and the cutting and the big hubcaps in the ears and the lips and all of that was to appease some gods. Amen. And when the modern generation thinks it's cool because some rock star did it, because some movie star did it, because some Kardashian did it, we think, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. What you're actually saying is, God, I don't like how you made me. I don't like how you created me. I'm going to change this situation. I'm here to tell you, you need to quit trying to be something that you're not and allow God to work His strategy in your life. He has a plan for every single one of your life. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know God, God had a plan for your life when you come into this world. There is a strategy. You can mess that program up, or you can allow God to chart your course. You can allow Him to direct your steps. You can hoist your sails and allow the Holy Spirit to blow you in the right direction that you need to go in, or you can do it on your own. God will allow you to do it on your own. When they crucified Jesus, they set things in motion that was unstoppable. Pentecost was going to happen, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. Satan thought he had won a war. Satan thought he had won a victory when they nailed Him to that cross. But I'm going to tell you, there was, after He got nailed to that cross, laid in a tomb, and let me get rid of the notes that we just get the head. After He was laid in that borrowed, Christ was crucified, laid in that tomb, they started something in motion at Pentecost was going to happen, and they couldn't put a stop to it. Jesus looked at those disciples. One of them had denied Him. The rest of them had forsook Him. Nobody stood at that cross that day except the youngest one of the crowd. When he was there for a purpose, Jesus told him, said, take my mama home and take care of her. You know what I'm talking about? There was a reason for him being there. Rest of them had all forsook Him and turned their back upon Him. He knew they needed something more than they had to stand in the day that they lived in. It is not much different than the day we're living in now, folks. People don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to see the gospel. They don't want to be bothered by the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll be offended of Him in this world, He said, I'll be ashamed of you in the world to come. You don't like my gospel, folks. You don't like the King of Glory. I am responsible for the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, and I don't want to stand there and say, well, I didn't offend anybody. I didn't bring up religion to them. I didn't tell them about it. I'm going to tell you about it. Jesus loves you, died for you, and unless you repent of your sins, there is no heaven for you. There is a hell. Jesus looked at that bunch of cowards that had denied Him and swore they didn't even know Him, and said, if you're going to face this world tomorrow, you're going to need something more than a church membership card. You're going to need something more than belonging to that temple. You're going to need something more than knowing the law. You're going to need something more than paying your coin and bringing your lamb into the temple as a sacrifice. You're going to have something. He told them, said, now boys, this ain't optional. You can't take it or leave it. Don't you leave as a commandment from this place, Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. You're going to need it. Don't leave here. 120 of them climbed the steps into that upper room. They sit there in one mind and in one accord. You can't get that done today. I've been in churches where they had their cell phones out on Facebook already criticizing the preacher before he got done. Y'all ain't been there, have you? That's a fact. Always something else to occupy your mind. We get ministers get autopsied before we leave. I didn't like that. Did you like that? I didn't like that. You know, he could have preached anything except that. So we dissect it and we cut it apart and we pass it on. That was meant for somebody else. When the gospel is meant for us in our own personal life, we are here not because your pastor just left town. He could have got anybody to show up here, but we are here for a purpose, and the purpose is we are in desperate need of an awakening in our country before the trumpet of God sounds, and the only way it's going to happen is my people that are called by my name will humble himself, repent of their slothful ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. He's still God, still available. The blood has never lost its power. And the only thing that's holding it back is the element that God uses and the instrument and the resource and the conduit to pour his spirit into this world. He chose the avenue of the Holy Spirit. And when you relegate and delegate the Holy Spirit to some basement or to some back prayer room, you are missing the only thing that can change a life, change a heart, change a church, change Laurel County, change America. It is only going to be through and by the power of Almighty God. 120 of them went there, and they didn't just sit there and gossip. They didn't exchange recipes. They were in one mind, in one accord. They had a prayer meeting. They were praying, sung a little chorus or two every now and then. He told them, said, you stay there because that other comforter's going to come. Might have thought it was going to be like him. He came in the form, of human flesh. They might have thought somebody's going to walk through that door, going to look just like him, going to be just like him, and we're going to have him with us. But as long as Christ was there through that door, he could only be at one place and at one time. He on that cross, he laid down the body that Mary gave him, but when they climbed them steps, he picked up 120 and out of that upper room marched an army that is still marching today of every spirit-filled, born-again child of God. The Comforter has come. He is available to every life. He is available to bring power to every church, to every Sunday school class. The world, folks, don't need to see how good your musicians are. The world don't need to see how adequate you can hit the right notes. They really don't need to see how educated your pastor is. What they need to see is God in that note, God in that song. They need to see Christ in that church, in that sermon. God, help us to realize that the only thing the world needs is a Pentecostal church on fire with the Holy Ghost, ready to go out and blaze the trail that the early church did. Same thing. All of a sudden came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house wherein they were sitting, clothed of tongues, like as a fire set upon each one of them. They walked out of that building with nothing but a tongue of fire. They walked out of there with nothing else, folks, except being filled. They said, we saw the fire. We felt the wind. We've seen something. That's what Pastor Huff used to always talk about Pentecost. When Laurel County had first come here, they saw something. They saw blind eyes open. They saw some cripple being healed and made to, you hear me? They saw something. When they arrested that bunch, throwed them in jail, they said, boys, you got to hush. Don't ever mention this name again. They said, I don't know whether it's right for you or not, but I'll tell you, boys, we cannot but tell what we have seen and what we have heard. I'm telling you, in the years that me and these sisters has traveled down this journey, I remember in Harlan County when I was just a kid, you know, in the coal mines, they had Hungarians, they had Australians, they had every nationality working in them coal mines. They were of every faith you can think of. They were Catholics, they was, you name it, they were there. We had them saints got to praying, and they got to fasting. They had two rooms in that little old church we went to, one on this side and one on that side. And before church, at least maybe an hour before service, the ladies went in that side over there, and the men went in this side over here. To the world today, that's foolishness. But they went in there to pray.
Sometimes church didn't start right at 7 o'clock at night. Sometimes it didn't get going to 7:30. They wasn't through. But when they walked out of that room, the Spirit of God was in that place. He had showed up because somebody had paid a price to bring him there. Mama said it's a little hard to eat a hot dog and drink a Pepsi Cola and talk about sports and walk in on Sunday morning and expect God to show up. You need to be in His presence somewhere. You need to be asking Him into your life somewhere before you ever get there. When the revival broke loose, went on for about 6 weeks. That revival did. I remember as a kid, I saw them old football players, them big old boys. They was rolling in the floor. They called us holy rollers back in them days. They were slain under the Spirit. They had no idea why they was there. They were slain in the Spirit. They rolled in the floor. They got up and testified of a changed life, that the Spirit of God had wooed them and had drawn them, and they were changed. I cannot tell you this morning nothing but what I've seen and what I've felt. I can tell you that it'll take nothing less than the moving of the power of the Holy Ghost in this hour to make us adequate for the need of the church world that we're living in now. I cannot walk out that door and onto that street with a track in my hand and change this world. But you can get in a prayer closet and pray the anointing of God down, walk out of there, and nothing but your presence will convict somebody on that street. Peter walked out of the upper room and they laid him in cots along the side of the road, that the shadow of that man, it was nothing, in his shadow had cast a long shadow on a lot of people that did not get up. But after that day of Pentecost, it was not Peter, but it was something on the inside, working on the outside, that got a hold of him. It was that anointing. It was the power from the throne room, that the shadow of this man of what lived on the inside not only convicted them, they brought them and laid them down so that the shadow'd make them well. All because they walked out of an upper room with something that they did not have. It was from another world. The only thing that'll change this world is something coming from another world into this world and making a difference. Hallelujah. It is nothing but the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost that makes a difference. I was thinking about, my mama had prayer meetings always at the house. We had one pastor after church going out the back door. One of the ladies come up and said, "Sister Wooten," said, "I need prayer." Mama laid hands on her. She'd do that in the grocery store. She didn't care. You know, you'd be down. None of y'all know about Cumberland, but Emmett Edwards had a store up there. And Mama be down to Emmett Edwards' grocery store, down there getting a loaf of bread. Somebody come in and says, "Sister Wooten, I need prayer." That she didn't say, "Well, I'll remember you tonight." She'd lay hands on you and just pray right there. Oh, just the heaven come down. It wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, somebody asked Mom at the back door, said, "Sister Wooten, will you pray for her?" Mom just prayed, you know, while they're shouting back there. And the pastor come back and I said, "Sister Wooten, you know you need to do that. If they've got a need, they need to come up front and let the pastor pray for them." Well, this little Church of Christ preacher's daughter that got the baptism didn't know any better than to think that what she had on the inside was all them people needed. She looked at him and said, "Pastor, if there's somebody over in your house under the bed wanted prayer, I'm going to come in there and pray for them." Did y'all get any of that? We have a lack of prayer. Lack of prayer life, folks. We tell people, "I'll pray for you," or we put them on a list. I'm moving on. But we saw things. That mama of ours was quilting one day. Mom quit it in the living room and had them two befores where you rolled. You know, it had pins in it, and you'd quilt a while, and then you'll roll it up a little bit, and then you'd quilt some more, and then you roll. Didn't have them quilting hoops like you younger people do. I know y'all quilt. I know you get them at Walmart. No, I ain't kidding.
But she'd roll that up. She had, Mama had a little, but she sat in that chair and she had a little gallon paint can. She set their leg up and she's just praying and she's quilting and she's praying. And so I got a point, folks. And so after a while, I'm home. You know, and after a while, she gets up. She gets her bottle of oil off the mantel, and she goes and she climbs up in the chair and she anoints the door face into that door that comes into the living room in that old mining camp house up there. And she sat back down. She started sewing again. And she got back up, got that bottle of oil back down, and she went over here at this door, come out of this room over here that nobody ever comes to in our house. And she got up and she prayed and she anointed that door and she sat back down. It wasn't long until she heard the back door open. And before she could get up, there was this lady that had come in. And she had come in. She told this story. She come in all bent over. She couldn't straighten up. She didn't come through that front door. If Mama had given up on the will of God, she'd still been in bad shape. When she walked through the door that nobody ever comes through, because of obedience of that little spirit-filled mama, she walked under that door and straightened up as straight as anybody can straighten up. Obedience is better than the sacrifice, folks. Amen. There was a demon-possessed black lady that lived up on the hill from us when we lived in that coal camp. And you could hear her scream at night. Blood-curling scream like somebody was killing her. Nothing more than a demon possession that had taken over her life. They was having a prayer meeting, Mom was, and they brought her down to the house. And when they brought her in, Mom and them began to pray. She screamed, and the picture on the wall began to spin around. Mama rebuked that demon and said he looked at her and stuck his tongue out and screamed as he run out the door. We have seen things, folks, because the anointing brings not only the demons out, but it brings deliverance. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of kids on drugs that needs to be delivered. I'm going to tell you, Satan has a hold on a lot of homes and a lot of families that needs delivered. And it'll not be over a Celebrate Recovery program you got going on that's going to do it. The Celebrate Recovery is when you die at this altar and you get up a new creature in Christ Jesus. They always tell me, well, we're celebrating. He's been clean for a week. Well, give him 6 months. But if he ever gets to that altar, if you'll ever get to where God's program is, it's a one-step program. When the Holy Spirit that was birthed on Pentecost comes into that heart, plants and impregnates the life of God on the inside. It is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. I can't live this life, neither can you, but it is no longer I, it is Christ that liveth this life. We are in need of a move of God that not only challenges the church into a revival, but it moves upon the community. And you don't have to go out, folks, and even carry a big banner. If the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of your life, you can walk into a room and they'll get under conviction. Back some years back, it was over in Lexington visiting the hospital room, and all they had family in there, and it was just loud and obnoxious. And I walked through the door, and the nurse said, are you family? I said, no, I'm their pastor. She said, well, we need to do something about it. I said, I got that covered. Emptied that waiting room out in a heartbeat. Didn't have to say a word. Just walked in there with my Bible. They started scattering. If the Holy Spirit, folks, is where He ought to be in your life. You see, the Bible said when there was no king in Israel, every man did what was right in his own eyes. When God is not on the throne of your life, if it feels good, you'll do it. If He's not on the throne of your life, you do what's right in your own eyes. Then it's all about me and it's nothing about Him. But when you get yourself off of that throne and you put Him up there, it's not my will, but thine be done.
What do you want me to do? Then when you leave, folks, it is an anointing that's on the inside of your heart that begins to convict the world of their sins. And then First Pentecostal can see another revival like they had across town. We are not out of the realm of revival. It's still able and capable, and the time is still available. God is still the same. His Holy Spirit is still here for a period of time. God, help us to wake up to the realization that only the Spirit moving now, as it did then, can change a life and can change a heart. We need a Holy Ghost revival. And this morning, I think every one of us need to say, Lord, here am I. Refill my life. We need that revival. I don't know about you, my kids need saved. My grandkids need saved. I got family folks, neighbors that's going to hell. And you drive by their door and they're just having a big time and you think, oh, ain't that nice? No, it's not nice. If they don't receive Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. We have air-conditioned hell to the certain extent that people are not afraid of it anymore. It is the Holy Spirit, folks, that draws us to that conclusion that there is a heaven and there is a hell. It draws you to that cross, and that cross deals with your life. And when it deals with your life, you leave a different person than you come. If the ministry and anointing don't bring you to the cross, you can come into a church and leave the same way you come. But when the Holy Spirit draws you in and brings you to that cross, it deals with your life. It exposes what's in there that shouldn't be, whether it's an attitude, whether it's an arrogance, whether it's pride. It deals with it. And when you leave a vessel that God can use on the street corner, in a hospital room, at your neighbor's house, on your job. You become a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through to meet needs in other people's lives. My whole thought for this morning is we need an awakening, and it'll take nothing less than that upper room experience to move into a church, and every one of us that's in here open up and say, here I am, Lord, fill my life and make me usable to your service in these last days. Would you stand? May I preach something a little easier to you tonight. This is my thought for this morning. We need a move of God. We need a challenge this morning that we'll open up our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to fill and refill us. They're going to play, and I want you to come and find a place to pray. Let's let God know I'm interested in that filling. I want to reach my family. I want to touch that dope addict that lives next door. I want to know what I'm feeling is just not me. I want to know when you walked in here this morning, he touched me. I want to know that I'm capable and situated to where he can use me. Position yourself to be used of God. Allow him to empty you of you and fill you with his Spirit that we could be used in these last days. Come on, church, find a place to pray.